it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, welcome into the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Willie Donick. Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Derek Mason will be along a little bit later in the show. We are brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Willie Donick, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Rob. Good to see you, my man.
Good to see you as well, my friend. Nick, what's going on? How's life?
Doing good, guys. A little sore this morning, but we're rocking and rolling on this Monday.
You're too young to be sore, man.
Yeah,
these
come on, man.
Athletic competitions.
I can be sore. Come on, guys. I block shots, too, okay?
That's right. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Willie, we were talking about this on our show this morning. Just a really tough day yesterday in our city. Mark Howard passing away, and you know, I was going to do a TV hit yesterday at News 2, and Corey Curtis, he answered the door, and he just said, "Hey, have you heard about Mark Howard?" And I was like, "No, what are you talking about?" And that's how I kind of learned of the news yesterday. And it's been number one, really cool to see the reaction all morning long of people just telling stories about Mark Howard and the impact that he's had on them throughout his career, both in television and on the radio as well, and with the Predators as well. Just a life well lived and an exceptional career in broadcasting. Our thoughts and prayers are out to his family. Just a really terrible situation. Well, I know you've been around Mark Howard for a long time. I guess I'll kind of turn the floor over to you for your thoughts on Mark Howard, the life that he lived, and his illustrious career in broadcasting as well.
Well, number one, I heard you and Joe talking to Jerry Helper. I thought he did a great job sort of sharing what Mark meant to the Predators part of this. And Jerry probably knows more than anything, or more than anybody, how important it was for the Predators and the media to sort of form a bond. You know, there's when a team comes in new, you know, Mark was one of the first from the mainstream media to say, this is important. You know, I want to be around. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to treat this team like a major league franchise. And not everybody did. You know, people were a little scared. Hey, I don't really know about this sport. But Mark was one of those that had a great impact. So that was a great section of it. But I think, as I thought about Mark, there's so many layers to his footprint, his legacy on this town as a sports town. Because when I first got to Nashville and, you know, went to Vanderbilt, was playing on the basketball team, he was there for Channel 5 and covering the team. And that's one of the first things you learn about Mark is, you know, it's easy to observe how knowledgeable he was about any subject. And then after I graduated and I started to work with him as a colleague, and Jerry said this as well, he really took the time to understand and read up on all subjects. And I think that's a critical part. And he didn't have to do that. You know, that's the thing about in the television for his gig at the time, when you have 5 to 7 minutes, you know, there are some people that are really good on camera. They deliver a good story. They probably broke a few stories. But you didn't have to know who the third baseman was for the Cubs, right, or, you know, who was the backup guard. Who was the fourth guard on the Vanderbilt Commodores? That would be me. You know, he didn't have to know that, right? Because, you know, those guys don't really come into your broadcast or sportscast very often, but he did. And so in the early days of Sports Talk, you know, he and George Plaster were really, really close. That was when, you know, George was one of the first to say, now look at this guy, Mark Howard. Watch how much he knows. And when he would start to come into the Sports Talk circuit, as it started expanding, and there were more shows, he was an obvious one that he would fill in from time to time, and you could see it. But he was a natural for sports talk radio, and you know, I admired his work ethic. But then the other thing that has come through, and you guys said it so well, was how supportive he was of his peers, and really not for at all for his own gain. You know, he would really enjoy a conversation where he would go up to somebody and say, I read your stuff, or I watched your broadcast last night. You did a great job. You know, he was just so encouraging about how you could, you know, how could you take that. And, you know, maybe we probably don't do that enough. So if there's a legacy for Mark, that's what I'll remember, and that's what I'm going to try to carry with me to, you know, some of my colleagues. I want to be supportive. When I see something that I like, I want to try to tell people, hey, did a good job on that. You know, so it's just a sad story. I it's all too soon that happened. But we are going to miss Mark, no question.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I was telling this story this morning. You know, I started doing stuff with the Predators when I was 18. I was fresh out of high school. I started my first year of college. I was doing stuff, and the Predators were gracious enough to give me some time and help me to come be credentialed for some games up there. And I remember a couple of months into it, Mark Howard was walking down the side of the stairs. He said, hey, Robbie, how you doing? And I remember thinking to myself, wow, Mark Howard knows my name. Like, this is the guy that I've grown up listening to on the radio and, you know, has been such a fixture in this area for a long time. And he has paid attention to me, and he knows my name, and he's read my stuff. And what stood out to me over the last, you know, 18, 19, 20 hours, however long it's been since this news came out, was I was not alone in that. Like, there were so many people that have similar stories of, you know, I got my start in this, and Mark was really supportive to me. And so that's kind of the thing that stands out to me. I mean, I think it was obvious how talented he was. We start talking about sports encyclopedia. Like, he was very knowledgeable about whatever sports you wanted to throw out there. But, you know, being supportive, like you just said, to other people getting started in the business, or not even getting started in the business, just people who enjoyed his work in general. I mean, we've got somebody, Thomas, on the text line right now talking about him taking time to take a picture with his son out there in the heat. I mean, it's just that's who Mark Howard was.
Well, when he Mark is from New York. He's a Yankees fan. For most people that know him well, they know he's a diehard Yankees fan, but in a fun way. I always enjoyed talking baseball with him. We enjoyed talking baseball with one another because we knew we couldn't talk that much about it on the air.
Right.
But, you know, he had that New York thing, and I think early on, especially in the sports talk realm, there was that, you know, he's from the North, he's abrasive, something like that. And only as he got more and more comfortable, you know, he and Kevin Ingram and Frank Wycheck, what an unbelievable team that ended up being. I was fortunate enough, of course, back at our previous home on 104.5, you know, George and I and Darren were doing some afternoons, and we were established. And then when that show came in and those three hit it off, and, of course, Paul Kuharsky ended up being sort of a regular contributor, that was an incredible combination. And Mark, I think, really won a ton of people over for his ability to, number one, showcase all the knowledge that he had, but number two, you know, I think a lot of people were like, oh, who's this guy from New York? I've been watching him on Channel 5. He, you know, he's abrasive or whatever. I think you saw a different side of him. You saw the real human of Mark, and he was the perfect guy for that show, and it just took sports talk in this town to new heights.
Yeah, no question. I remember my early days of getting started with the Predators. He was on the TV broadcast team at that time, and just his ability to do his job and not take himself overly seriously. I mean, I think that's becoming more and more of a lost art nowadays. You know, I remember he and Shea Weber one time really got into it. I don't even remember what it was about in the locker room. And, you know, on the outside, it looks like, man, these guys are really after each other. And the next day, they're back in there just cutting up about it. Shea went up and, like, apologized to him.
He could really do that. He could be honest, but also, like Jerry was saying, he could cross you some way. You would maybe disagree with something he said.
Yeah.
But he was never going to not be available to talk about it, and he was able to get through a lot of that. And, you know, something that I think should be said, Robbie, he was so supportive of everybody else. I don't even think he really appreciated how good he was a lot of times. And that kind of makes me sad to think about. I just hope we all, because I know we're appreciating him today, I hope that we showed enough appreciation to him when he was, you know, doing his thing, because he was really, really good.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Well, then he was And, you know, there's always that photo. It was, you know, I think Corey Curtis brought it up today of the Music City Miracle and Kevin Dyson's running down the sideline. And there's that photo of, like, Mark's over in the corner with his hands up like this. You could just – there was a passion for sports. And I thought Jerry Helper did an outstanding job of kind of explaining it. It just – it was what he did. He loved researching and talking and, you know, conversing with other people about sports.
I had the pleasure of doing some high school championship games with him, basketball, football. And that's where, to me, I saw a lot of the preparation. He was so good. It's a high school game. So you can't just pull up a website and see everybody's team statistics. I mean, you're trying to piece together whatever you can find, especially back then. It's gotten better now. But you were lucky to get a roster sometimes.
Right.
But, man, he would come in with a lot of notes. He had talked to coaches. He had talked to other people that had watched these teams play. And you really felt good about going into a broadcast as if, you know, you really knew something about these teams that the parents and the fans of those teams. I mean, you think about this. Who's going to be watching that game? You got that really tight – sometimes it's – you know, Dyersburg, Tennessee, or Lewisburg, you know, a real tight-knit community. They've been watching this team for years, right? So you got to make – I was just thinking, look, let's make sure we pronounce everybody's name right.
That's right.
Who are the top two or three players? You know, I'm trying to – he was really getting down in there to where I felt like the community back there was like, that guy's really done his homework. That guy knows about this team. That was a really pro thing that he did in those broadcasts.
Yeah, no question.
We all learned a lot. You know, I think you can say you did. I did from a lot of things, just learning a lot about how a guy operates professionally. You know, and he was a pro.
No question about it. A life well lived from Mark Howard. We'll take your thoughts and memories of Mark Howard all throughout the show today. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there was a big move in the NHL over the weekend. We'll get Willie's thoughts on the Matthew Tkachuk trade and what that means from the Predators and where they go from here. Coming up next, you're listening to the DDC on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back into the DDC. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, on Mark Howard, any way you want to go on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Bicycle Boy, who wants to weigh in on Mark Howard. Bicycle Boy, thanks for calling in.
Well, good morning, fellas. I'll try to keep this brief. Mark and I are close to the same age, and our fellow Northeasterners, we moved down here about the same time. In fact, when Mark was at Ithaca, I was hanging out at St. Lawrence University, and those are both big ECAC hockey schools. I don't know if we ever saw each other at games, but I always related well to him. And my remembrance of Mark goes all the way back to when he had a talk show with Tandy Rice, and it was kind of more of a political thing, but they touched on a wide variety of topics. And then when Mark got with Frankie Wycheck and Kevin Ingram, I used to call in with different topics, but especially with bicycle racing topics. And this is back when during the Lance Armstrong era.
Oh yeah.
And Mark had no interest in bicycle racing, but there was one year that I literally called in every morning with today's Tour de France update. And Mark was a great sport with it, but he made no pretension having any interest in it at all, but Frank and Kevin were also good for sports, and Frank called me BB at the time, and I would call in and I would give Mark the update, and he would always have some comment about how many guys got kicked out of the tour for doping today or things like that, and it was fun. And then when cycling season was over, I would call on other topics, usually hockey, as I do with you guys. And I would always end it with, and Mark, don't forget to set your DVR because the Tour de France starts in another 3 months and 27 days or whatever it was. And he was a great sport about it, and really going to miss him.
Yep, absolutely. Appreciate that story. Appreciate you calling in.
He didn't take himself too seriously. I thought Jerry made a great point, Robbie, that you can really relate to, is he would watch the games. And you're the morning show host, it ain't easy.
It is not.
To watch the games, especially ones sometimes it's starting to, on the West Coast. He'd be up and he would be telling you about, hey, last night, did you see? And, you know, that's
like, Mark, that game got off the air at 12:30.
Exactly. So he had the work ethic too. That's the other thing is, you know, he put in the time and the hours there, and that morning show shift is not for everybody, you know, but he would be up bright and early, you know, you could tell he was tired sometimes, especially on the Predators set and things like that. He'd be doing a Predators game until, you know, the coverage ends at what, 10 o'clock, 10:15, 10:30 sometimes if it goes to overtime. Bright and early the next day on the air at 6, whatever time they went on there. Whew, tough to do.
It is very tough to do. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Mark Howard throughout the show. So, Willie, there was a big trade made over the weekend. Late Friday night, Matthew Tkachuk going to the Florida Panthers and signing an 8-year contract extension along with it, $9.5 million, the annual average value. So, no Matthew Tkachuk to the Predators. Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar going back the other way along with a prospect and a protected first-round pick in 2025 as well. Let's just start with the deal part of it. What did you make of the price that Florida paid to acquire Matthew Tkachuk, and what do you think of the return for Calgary as well?
I really thought that when we were sitting here on Thursday and Friday after the Predators had signed Nito Niederreiter and the Tkachuk thing was out in the open, it became very public. It wasn't just speculation. They actually might trade Matthew Tkachuk. It went from that to he's trading Matthew Tkachuk. He has told them, which I guess was a classy move, really, on one hand by Matthew Tkachuk to tell the Flames that, hey, you just got jilted by Johnny Gaudreau. We don't want you to have to go through that. Let me just tell you, he wants a change. So everything was happening so fast. And when we were putting together our trade, I don't know how you guys, you know, pieced it together. You know, we had two theories. What would Calgary want? Would they want sort of a dollar-for-dollar return to try to stay competitive, or would they want to sort of take the opportunity to really load up on future assets, kind of build slowly but surely, take a step back to take a couple of steps forward?
Right.
Well, we kind of know the answer now, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
So, because we were throwing out, you know, would you take a big contract back from the Predators? Would you offer two packages? One that has, you know, some current dollars, but also current production, and package it with a first-round pick, or would it be more of a package of young prospects and things like that? But put either package together that I might have put down on paper, or what Chase might have said, or Derek on Friday when the three of us were kicking it around, I don't think anybody would have matched what Calgary got back from Florida. Florida came to the table with a big swing, so I think it was a no-brainer. And reading what St. Louis had said about it too, Jeremy Rutherford's been all over this story. Of course, Matthew Tkachuk being from St. Louis, he had a lot of info. But at the end of the day, I think he was saying too, St. Louis couldn't match that.
Well, and you know, Calgary's getting some heat from it in terms of, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau has 1 year left. Mackenzie Weegar has 1 year left on their contract. So are you going to be able to retain those guys? You know, Huberdeau's 29 years old. He's a phenomenal player. Are you going to give him an 8-year extension? Like, what's all going on there on that front? My thought on it is, Willie, you know, I think you've got a good chance to get him extended. And if you don't, think about a Jonathan Huberdeau trade at the NHL trade deadline and what you could load up on there if you're Calgary.
One of the first things I thought about, Robbie, I don't know about you, but when I was sitting there on Friday night, I wondered if I was going to see a tweet from Elliot or one of the guys saying Huberdeau and Weegar have agreed to extensions.
Right.
I wondered if that was part of the discussion.
I did too.
On the front end. Maybe Calgary just didn't feel like they should mess with it. You know, you're giving us Huberdeau and Weegar and a first?
Yeah.
And this prospect, I guess, is not just a throwaway. I guess he's a mid-level prospect. They say maybe bottom six could be a solid player. He had a good first year in the AHL. But Huberdeau was a Hart Trophy finalist.
Yeah.
He was lights out, incredible player last year for Florida. High first-round pick. So if you're just looking at Huberdeau for Tkachuk, straight up, Huberdeau's older. So I think Florida was saying, hey, it's going to be hard to re-sign him. we've got salary cap problems. Let's get the younger guy who we're going to end up paying almost the same as what it would take to get Huberto. So that was a wash for Florida. They were not going to be able to sign Mackenzie Weegar. His name has been out there for a long time. That's a guy that, to his credit, has really had his stock rise over the last two or three years. A couple of years ago when the Florida Panthers were in the Predators division, I didn't know much about Mackenzie Weegar. I knew he was in the league, but he had not been a really first-rate player. All of a sudden, he's playing first-pair minutes with Aaron Ekblad. Then Eric Ekblad, if you guys remember, Ekblad got hurt. And Weegar stayed on that first pair, and they still won a lot of games.
Yeah.
So he became a true first-pair defenseman. So that was a guy that I think Florida said, we'd love to keep him. We just can't. So Calgary benefits from that. So they get a first-pair defenseman and an MVP candidate back. So the only question is, can they sign those guys? I got to believe they're both Canadian.
Yeah.
They may not have that same thing that Gaudreau and Tkachuk happen to have. They're right. U.S. Maybe they wanted to just get back closer to home.
Yeah, and that certainly could play in your favor if you're Calgary. I thought it was interesting that David Poile, over the weekend, he was at the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame banquet, and he was asked about the Matthew Tkachuk situation, and he brought it up in terms of Matthew Tkachuk. Apparently the Predators were not on his list. Said, you know, he was on their radar. He was on everybody's radar throughout the league, as a player like that is when he becomes available, but it doesn't sound like the Predators were on the short list for Matthew Tkachuk.
I think we were all really surprised at that, because Jeremy Rutherford had reported the short list. And this is, for people that don't know Jeremy, he's been on our station a lot, you know, doing Blues previews when the Predators played the Blues. So you get to know some of these guys. Chris Mason, of course, was playing for the Blues, and Jeremy was covering them. So, you know, we've known him a little bit better than a lot of the beat writers around. He also does really good work. So he had the Predators on the list. So I do think there had to be something. At one time, there had to be a pretty good inkling that Matthew Tkachuk expressed some interest. But that maybe didn't mean that when it really came down to the last couple, that he didn't really narrow it down. The one that really surprised me, I don't know if you saw Jeremy's thing, the Carolina was on the list.
Yeah.
I was like, now, where did that come from? That was the out-of-nowhere one I did not expect. The Vegas, when he put out Vegas, I was like, there's no way Vegas could pull this off.
No.
They cannot do this. If they learned anything from the Jack Eichel thing, which you never know. Do they learn anything out there about how to manage the salary cap? I don't know. But there was no way they could logistically pull off another Jack Eichel kind of trade. So I eliminated them. Dallas has got major money that they've got to throw at Jason Robertson and Jake Oettinger. So their budget is very tight. I didn't think Calgary would want to take Jamie Benn or Tyler Seguin at this stage of their career and the money that they make. So that didn't make sense to me. So I thought it was going to be Nashville and St. Louis. I didn't really think about Florida. But Florida really came to the table.
They did. I mean, the silver lining.
That happened so fast.
It came together.
I was thinking,
very quickly.
You know, we're going to hear a lot of rumors, and then maybe August 1st, some of these other.
I know. I was thinking, like,
boom, done.
I was like, you know, this will probably get done before August 11th. I think that's how I ended the show on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, it gets done. I guess the silver lining, if you're a Predators fan, at least he's in the East.
He's not
in your division.
He's in the East. And I don't think Calgary is a better team than they were last year when they won the Pacific. You know, they were that was another thing I'm thinking going, this is a Canadian market. They're desperate to try to get another arena. They need a new building. They don't want to rebuild.
No.
So this is a really nice thing for them. So they can come back and say, okay, we can still make a go of it. Although I'm not sure they exactly are as good as they were last year. But they're going to be pretty good.
They're going to be pretty good. But they lost over 200 points. They got 115 back with Jonathan Huberdeau.
That guy can score.
But we'll see how that goes with Calgary. We'll continue the discussion. Welcome more of your thoughts on the Predators. Where do the Predators go from here? Bob, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side as well. But right now, Willie, you've got a word from QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. They've got the new technology, the new medical professionals that have that regenerative medicine. You may not have heard of it before we started telling you about them several months ago here, but they're really doing a lot of great things for people all across our listening area and all throughout the country. This is an advanced, exciting, and natural alternative to some of the things that you're probably familiar with. If you've got joint pain or you've got some sort of injury, back, shoulders, whatever it is, you know the traditional treatments, pain meds, steroids, maybe a surgery. but you may not have considered the regenerative medicine from QC Kinetics. So it's 2022. Find out about it. Give them a call. It's a free consultation, and they're right here in our listening area. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. They can restore and repair the damaged joint tissue in any joint, and we're talking about for any type of pain. So get that quality of life back that you're looking for. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024.
Welcome back in the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Willie Donick. Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Derek Mason will be along here shortly on the program as well. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Predators, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for hanging with us. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Are there any other free agents who you feel like would be really good fits for the Predators? And I've also got another question. Does Connor Ingram figure into their plans at all next year? I was surprised that they signed the backup goalie that they signed.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We'll talk about it. So, Willie, that kind of leads right into what I wanted to talk to you about. You've got Niederreiter that's now in the fold. Obviously, the trade for McDonough. You've re-signed Philip Forsberg, who, by the way, looked like he had a pretty interesting wedding over the weekend. Looked like he was having some fun out there.
The picture of him at the turntable with the DJ with the hat on. That was good. We're going to have to ask Phil about that.
Looks like,
I think he'll have some fun stories about that.
Looks like he had a good old time at his wedding over the weekend. Congratulations to the Forsberg. But with everything in the fold this offseason so far, you've got, according to Cap Friendly, roughly $4 million worth of cap space. Now, you still have the Yakov Trenin situation to take care of as well. So there's not a whole lot of money to work with right now as the roster is currently constructed. And not just David Poile, but a lot of GMs like to enter into the season not directly against the cap, to leave yourself a little bit of breathing room heading into the season. So honestly, Willie, I kind of feel like this is it, and this is their team heading into the offseason. Obviously, there could be a trade that we don't see coming right now, but I guess I would be surprised if there's another free agent that gets added at this point. I know a lot of people are still asking about Phil Kessel, who's out there and who I think will be cheap on a one-year deal. I'm just not sure with Niederreiter coming in that he would fit into their lineup, you know, on paper right now as it stands.
I'm in full agreement. I think we just realized over the summer how important keeping some salary cap flexibility can be.
Yep.
The fact that they kept that space allowed them to get Ryan McDonough and still have enough in the budget to get Nino Niederreiter. That was the one, you know, because of the Tkachuk thing, I don't think we really spend as much time on Nino Niederreiter, who I think a lot of people thought was a good fit from the start. I just never thought he would sign a two-year, $4 million per year deal. I think Niederreiter, number one, I think he got a phone call from Roman Josi. There were some reports that surfaced. I saw Alex Dory actually, I think, uncovered it. It was a French thing. I don't know if Alex speaks
French. I hope it's
French.
A direct translation, because in that quote, Roman Josi talked about going to talk with his leaders, and I hope that's the type of language that he used.
No, he translated it.
I'm going
it.
To discuss this with my leaders, and I'll be right back to you.
He translated it on Google Translate, and actually Pekka just got named the U-20 Finnish coach.
I saw that.
And I translated that so I could read it.
Oh.
So it just kind of says, hey, like, he's going to be doing this. He did this, you know, with the Predators, and it was a really short article. But, hey, it does work.
But I think the gist, this is funny, I'm thinking of the movie Lost in Translation, which some things do get lost, right, when you're trying to directly translate. But I got the sense that Roman kind of got a sense from Nino Niederreiter, look, the market may not be what you want
right
now. The salary cap isn't going up for the next 2 years, but you still are young enough and productive enough that you could take another kick at it when the salary cap goes up. And in the meantime, how about playing for us? What would you take? So we'll have to ask Roman about it at some point, maybe when he's in the mood to talk about it. But, and I thought it was a brilliant thing to kind of say, look, this guy's sitting here. This guy is actually a really good fit for how the team plays. I think we all kind of saw that.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought he'd get a 4 or 5 year deal for, he made over $5 million last year. So I'm thinking he's not looking to take a pay cut.
No.
But he actually did that. But what was at play here? A, He's on a team that he thinks is a pretty good team. Number two, tax situation. The $4 million here goes further than $4 million and maybe some other places that he was getting offers from. So is it in a two-year deal? Not all bad.
Well, and you look at the situation, too, of you're him, you're coming into play, I would presume definitely going to be a top six role, probably some power play time as well on the second power play unit. And you play 2 years, the cap goes up, and you could take another kick at the can. It'll be 32 at that time heading into that season, but you could still make some good money on a 2-3 year deal at that age. So I think contractually, I love it from the Predators' standpoint. I think it makes a lot of sense from Niederreiter's standpoint, too. If you're not going to get that 5-6 year deal, why would you go sign a 3-year deal and be 1 year older after that? Just take another kick at the can when free agency comes next time around.
It makes a lot of sense. And on the other part of it, it leaves you $4 million. We know some of that's going to be earmarked for Yakov Trenin. And think of it this way. Let's take Phil Kessel as an example. Phil Kessel, you're probably not going to sign and put him on the fourth line.
Right?
You would put him on a top six role. That's where he's been his whole career. If you did that, that effectively blocks Philip Tomasino, Elie Tolvanen, whoever is the young player that will end up there. I think in a perfect world, we all think Tomasino might be. You'd love for him to jump up and take that. He had a really good last year. Good rookie season where you think, hey, there's more there.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to completely give up on Tolvanen, and he could have a bounce back. But if you have a veteran there, there's no place for them to go.
Right.
So you're going to let it play out. And as you know, you get into the winter months, December, January, things go a certain way. You find out more about Tomasino, but you then could address that. You could address that spot with the trade down there, and you would still have some money to do that.
Yeah, and that's why I thought the AAV coming in at $4 million was really good for him. You've got McDonough in addition to that, too. I said this morning. Like, to me, there's no way that you can argue the team isn't better. Like, they are, significantly better on paper. Now, then there's the question of, is Duchesne going to approach what he did last year offensively? Same thing for Forsberg. You know, even Yossi to a certain extent, I think he's going to be great next year. Is he going to be 96 points great? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that front. So I can see a scenario where production goes down a little bit from those guys. I also think, and this is something that people I don't think are talking enough about, they have gotten way better defensively with Ryan McDonough coming in. And everybody talks about the top six, and yes, the Predators needed to address that, and they did heading into this offseason. They were not good defensively to end last year. And I think McDonough coming in really stabilizes a lot of things back there. If they keep this as is right now, and Fabro's a part of it, and Carrier's a part of it, you know, I like that makeup on D a whole lot better right now than I did with the way they ended last year.
I think that they were, even when things were going really well in January and on into February, I think that there was some concern about, and it's nothing against the players, with Alex Carrier or with Dante Fabro, but the youth and the size. I think they were thinking, you know, another experienced guy that's got a little size that can play against weight would be what they need. And I think Lauzon will help them. That's one of the reasons they acquired him. Now you've got him, you know, maybe in the role that he should have right now, and hopefully he grows over time. And the same could be said about Fabro and Carrier, that now you can kind of maybe put them in a more advantageous position. So top to bottom, it's like when you add that really good pitcher to a rotation that was already pretty good, but now it slots everybody in almost a better position. I think that's a good thing. And I'm totally with you on the goals. If you're coming in saying, well, Duchesne will get another 40 and Forsberg will get another 40 and everything will go, that's never how it works, right? Yep. You expect them to regress a little bit. But also you're looking at the second line. Last year it was scary how little production they got. It was a wonder. The first line had to be that good to make up for the fact that 5-on-5, they weren't getting much at all the whole season from the second line.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where maybe you could make it up. And at the end of the season, hopefully you have roughly the same amount of goals and maybe you give up a few less.
Let's real quickly get to Bob's second part of that call. Do you think Connor Ingram has a role on this team as currently constructed? Because honestly, Willie, I mean, I just look at the contract they gave Lankinen. I don't know why you're paying him $1.5 million if you don't want him to be the backup goalie. So I think it's going to be Lankinen as the backup.
You know, I think we were all a little surprised when they signed Lankinen. But I think, okay, let's just deduce from what the situation. They didn't. We know Askarov is in the position of first-year pro.
Right.
I should say first-year North American pro, right? He's going to be in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
When they made the decision to re-up Devin Cooley, the other goalie in Milwaukee, who less people know about, I was thinking, ooh, not, wasn't sure about that.
Yeah.
But he played very well in the playoffs for them. They like him. Then they signed Lankinen. And so we were thinking, could they get him on a two-way deal? Nope, it's a one-way deal. So you can't help but come back to Connor Ingram and say, okay, where does that leave him? Because
right.
they have one more goalie than they really have a spot for contractually. And if they really were not thinking about Connor Ingram, then they wouldn't have signed Lankinen or they wouldn't have signed Cooley. So you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, so they've got a situation there. I don't know if they're going to let it play out in camp and where they sort of compete, or they move on from Ingram before that. I don't know, but I do think that's will be a big story in training camp.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Predators. You're listening to the DDC here on 1025, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in to the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Willie Donick. Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Derek Mason will be along to begin the 11 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts on the Predators on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Troy from Murfreesboro texting in says, can we still trade for Huberto from the Flames? I don't think Calgary's going to be interested in that now. At least not today. Maybe back at the maybe if they're out of it at the trade deadline.
I'm trying to think about how to word my answer for that. Like, how would you figure that would happen? Like,
yeah. Well, the attractive part about trading for Tkachuk was, number one, the player, but number two, he was 24, and you knew that there was a long term extension coming.
Right.
Like, that's.
Are you saying, like, you would be under the assumption that Huberto will not sign back?
Yes.
With the Flames at
right.
this point.
If that's the way you went about it. Like, I don't know why Calgary would even entertain that right now.
I don't think so. Like,
no.
That is why, going back to our conversation in the last segment, what kind of conversations had they had about that when they made the deal or before
right.
they made the deal?
Right.
Had they even broached the subject with Huberto's people or Uyghur's people for that matter? Hey,
well,
you guys interested in signing him?
He's at that tricky age too, of he's 29. It's not like you're giving, like, honestly, Matthew Tkachuk is the perfect age to give somebody an 8-year deal. I mean, you get an 8-year deal that takes Tkachuk through 32. You figure he's going to be near the top of his game for all that deal. Like, Huberto is 29. It's even different from Forsberg. Like, there are, you know, Predators fans concerned about giving Forsberg an 8-year deal, and he'll be 34 at the end of it. Well, Huberto is going to be 36.
Right.
Like, there, it's a 37, actually, is what he'll be at the end of it if you give him an extension. So, you know, it's a different ball game there, too, of are you going the full 8 years? I mean, he's a great player, 115 points. It's probably worth it to do it because you know for the next 5-6 years he's going to be great. But it's a little bit different when you start to talk about 29-year-olds comparatively to 24-year-olds.
And he's a pretty unique case to look at in that he played for some really bad Panthers teams.
Oh yeah.
When he was a very young player, and it was a little bit like the Oilers, right? They had a lot of high picks, but they couldn't put it together for anything that resembled success on the ice, and you're thinking, have you kind of lost this guy? Is this guy now a guy you just can't win with? You know, I'm thinking of Barkov and a couple other guys that they had there in the mix, and then all
Sam
of a sudden
Bennett was there.
Sam
yeah.
Bennett, and now all of a sudden they did put it all together, and now they're one of the top, at least regular season. They're hungry for more playoff success, but now they really have a chance to win. Huberto and Barkov, for that matter, had to be pretty patient to get to that. Ekblad would be another
Ekblad,
guy in that
yep.
case. So you kind of wondered, you know, what will it look like now in a different spot? Huberto's been with the Panthers. That's the only team he knows. So now going to play for Daryl Sutter, who's not maybe, in some people's mind, the easiest coach to play for.
Yeah.
more of a defensive-minded system, certainly not a freewheeling system. Because for a while, what you would have said about Huberto was, scores a lot of points, but is he really a winning player?
Right.
Right. He would flash with all these talent, and the points were there, but was he a guy of substance that you wanted to have in your foxhole winning? I don't think people question Barkov, but Huberto had a little bit more of that. I think we'll find out in Calgary. And maybe Huberto's thinking, look, do I really want to sign up for this before I've even played
right.
a game, or do I want to at least play for a few months and make sure this is where I want to be? Because I don't think it's going to be a matter of Calgary not offering. I would think they probably have already said, hey, do you want to sign?
Yeah.
I got this money over here that I was going to pay Johnny Gaudreau, and this money over here I was going to pay. We got some cash space here. Yeah.
David on the text line says, JT Miller would be a good signing. We have underperformers, Tolvin and Fabro, and a third rounder that you picked up as well. I don't know. It kind of feels like the JT Miller discussion is quieted down
moved.
A little bit.
I think it's moved on. He's got 1 year left.
Yep.
I don't think they have the budget. Now that with Niederreiter, unless you are trading money back to them, I mean big money, I don't think there's room for another contract with Miller. And you, unless it's a Max Pacioretty, you're willing to just give us a player? I do wonder some of these teams who are in a cap crunch, what are they going to do to get rid of the money?
Well, like the Tampa part of it continues to be interesting because the more information that comes out of there, you know, they swear up and down they're going to try to keep Alex Killorn. And I'm looking at him, they're $7 million over the cap. Like,
yes.
Somebody's going to have to go.
Unless cap-friendly is just way off base, which I don't think they are. Everybody, I don't care what station you're listening to or if you're listening to satellite radio or watching TV, they all refer to cap-friendly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams in the red.
Oh, yeah.
When it says cap space available, it's red. It's minus.
Well, Vegas got like, rid of
they can't
Pacioretty's contracts and still is over the cap.
They're still over the cap. Come on. So what are they going to do? There are not a lot of teams that could take this out. But, of course, Calgary's in the catbird seat. They are in a position to add if there are people that they like. But this is always the problem, right? There's people that a team would like to get rid of their contract,
yeah.
but they are not attractive to other teams. So they got to do something. At some point, they have to get under the cap. Like, Killorn is a really interesting one. You know they want to keep him, but they have to be looking around going, how are we going to do this?
Yeah, it's going to be – and you've got until, I mean, the basically puck drop to figure this thing out. You can be over the cap. But at some point, if you're Tampa Bay or if you're Vegas or if you're – I mean, Florida now is over the cap. They're going to have to figure that out as well. So that's got to come down the pipe at some point here, and we'll see if the Predators make any more movement on that. The other part of this that is interesting, when you factor in the totality of the picture so far, so Tkachuk's gone from Calgary to the East – you do get back Huberto. They've lost Gaudreau. He's at the East as well. Like, I think the Predators have gotten significantly better on paper. Are they a Stanley Cup contender? I don't know if I'm willing to go there yet, but they're better. And the other part of this, Willie, that I look around at the movement so far this offseason, I think the West has gotten worse. And I think that on paper benefits you if you're the Predators. Now, there's a team every year that surprises you and jumps out and they're better than you think
right.
they'll
it
be.
It all starts coming together, yeah. and boom, they're good.
So, but as we sit here today on July 25th, like I think the Western Conference as a whole is weaker than it was this time a year ago, and that should help you too.
Okay,
the Predators.
Here's one last question for you on the way out. We know Colorado is going to be overwhelming favorite, defending champs, all that. If you're trying to compare the Predators to the Avalanche, hopefully they've closed the gap a little bit. We don't know exactly what their roster is going to look like. Kadri's still out there, and are they going to move Sam Girard or anything? That's another interesting one. It's like I think he thought there was more money out there, and maybe there's not. How would you compare, though, St. Louis, Nashville, and Minnesota? I think that's a key part of the, our listener's question there when he says, are you really a Stanley Cup contender? The question is, have you closed the gap on Minnesota and St. Louis?
I think they have. I think you've closed the gap. If I had to order it today, obviously Colorado's one. I would probably still have St. Louis at two, but I think it's close. And then I would go Nashville three and Minnesota four. I think they've surpassed Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota, you've got Fiala out the door, and he was such a big part of what they did last year. You've got the buyouts of Parise and Suter coming on the books. Like, it was an interesting spot for Bill Guerin because last year was kind of a quote-unquote go-for-it year because he knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they're good. They got Fleury back in there. You know, is he going to be able to be the same guy as he continues to get older? I don't know. I would put the Predators today in third, and I think St. Louis, the Predators, and the Wild are all kind of right there together. And I think there's another gap after that. I'd go Dallas and then Winnipeg, and then we don't even have to talk about the two at the bottom.
The two at the bottom, we know are going to be at the bottom. I think Winnipeg is teetering. Dallas, I think, will be right where they have been.
Yep.
St. Louis is the really interesting one to me because they just lost their backup goalie, who was kind of their starting goalie for a good while. They have Binnington. They've also got a ton of decisions that will come up at the end of this coming year. So they might really be in the win now mode. But you look at their roster, they've got some major decisions to make after this coming year. So things might open up for the Predators a little bit. I'm not sure what's going to happen to the Blues after this coming season. It's but they'll be very good again this year for sure.
It's going to be really interesting to monitor. Derek Mason will be joining the show coming up next to begin the 11 o'clock hour. Willie, it's been fun.
Always a pleasure, Robbie. Thanks for the extra time today.
Absolutely. I'll talk to y'all later. The DDC, more of it coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.